My Life Now is a half-hour podcast show which regularly features reviews of new releases and all-time classics of both traditionally published and self-published books.
Tune in for special guest interviews and, of course, helpful tips to not only write your next book, but also to help market it.
My Life Now is most often referred to as a great way for authors to get quality exposure and avid readers to discover their next read.
Without further delay, here's another stimulating episode of My Life Now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Life Now podcast. Today, we have a wonderful author with us today. We have Rocky with us. Get ready for some exciting information about his new book. Rocky, would you introduce yourself for us to us?
Yes. Formerly, I am the Reverend Dr. William Lewis Rocky Brown III, and I reside in the third-class citadel of Chester, Pennsylvania. Yeah. I was born and raised here, and I'm just excited about the life that God has given me. I've been preaching the word for 45 years. Last weekend was my anniversary. We've been writing all those years, and we just thank God for the things that he has done in our lives. Daily, I am a director at a charter school where I teach positive attitude development, anger management techniques, and discipline. It is a curriculum that I created. It's entitled Harambe Maya Child, which means pull it together and manage your attitude, child. As a police chaplain, which I've been for about 40 years, I got tired of the marching, the singing, the praying, and the crying. Every time there was a shooting, they would have prayer vigils, and things would go back to life as it was. And I was thinking, we need to do something different. So I realized that after being a therapist for 25 years of drug, alcohol, and mental health, and gambling addiction, I wanted to do something different. And I realized that people who shoot people who create violence in the community have a lack of control over their emotions. And so I wanted to create something to be able to teach younger children how to control their emotions so that when they grow up, they can control themselves and hopefully not become a murderer. So in the midst of all that, I was doing a transition in my life where I wanted to change careers. In the meantime, I needed to make some money. And it hit me. Remember those old sayings that your grandmother used to have? I would say to myself, yeah. They said, and people would talk about their mother's sayings and things of that sort. And I decided, well, let me put together a booklet on 800 on sayings. It wasn't starting off as 800. It started off as 200. Then when I got to 200, I felt like that wasn't enough. So I kept researching and researching. And at the time, let me say that I have been involved in a fraternal life for about 30 something years. I'm involved in a fraternity, a college fraternity called Omega Psi Phi. Mm-hmm. And also I'm a member of the Prince Hall Masons. And within that organization, I became the head of what they call the Eastern Star as the male head. I became Grand Worthy Patron. While that was going on, that's when I decided to put together this book, 800 Sayings by Old Folks Who Raised Us. My grandmother had a wealth of sayings. She was from Mobile, Alabama, and she moved up here to Pennsylvania, but she brought her culture with her. Along her, my mom was from North Carolina, and they would always say these sayings. So as a way of trying to, let's say, create an income, I decided to write this book. So many people got excited about it. My members at my church began to give me information because Chester is a southern part of Philadelphia, I call it. But most of the people here are from down south, and they bring their sayings with them. And so I was able to tap into the resources of members at my church, tap into the resources of some friends, tap into the resources of some family, as well as the memories that I had from what my grandmother gave me. And I was able to continue to compile this list of sayings. And before I know it, I was up to 600. Then I, for some reason, I felt that wasn't enough. So I just kept researching. I went online to look up some Southern sayings so that it could go beyond the African-American culture. I just wanted it to be culture based on American, you might say, living. And so it's been great. Since it's been published, they have been using it in a lot of senior situations and senior living homes as a way of show and tell. I even have my students that I teach in school looking at the book and us talking about it. And they're third graders, and they could relate to a lot of the sayings in there. The sayings are universal, and they go from one generation to the other.
So would you say that the inspiration behind writing 800 sayings by old folks who raised them comes from that things that were happening in the culture with the shootings and things like that? Is that what inspired the book, or is it just what brings you peace?
Yeah, that basically is, well, what inspired the book was I needed to figure out a way of having an income in between changing my careers. And I decided, since I was a writer, let me begin to write some books rather than just write articles for a newspaper that I have been writing for over 40 years. So I looked at that as another way of generating income. The inspiration for writing the book was my grandmother, who always had these sayings, and the fact that I would always talk to people and they would talk about their mother's saying and how their mother should write a book. And when I looked around, I noticed people were always saying that, but nobody wrote the book. Right. Nobody actually put these sayings together. Mm-hmm. And if they did, I didn't see none at the time. And so that basically was the inspiration to create a book. And number two, and to memorialize, I might say, my grandmother, who was sweet as I don't know what, and always had these sayings. And there are so many universal sayings. Prime example, we all have heard, I brought you into this world, and I'll take you out. Or you hear stuff like, I got eyes in the back of my head. I say this to my students, they hear this, money don't grow on trees. And these little third graders who are 8, 9 year olds will say, well, they would say, Dr. Brown, doesn't money come from paper? And I say, yeah. Then they'll say, well, doesn't paper come from trees? I say, yeah. And they'll say, well, money grows on trees. So they try to rationalize that. But it's just a fun book. I have heard comedians make jokes about sayings like, my mom used to say some things, and I would be like, wow, when I got older and thought about it, like, I'll knock the black off of you. I'm going to knock you in the middle of next week. You're going to be looking both ways for Sunday. You know, just things like that. But that kept us straight. That kept us out of trouble. You know, I was never afraid of doing something wrong and the police getting me. I was always afraid of doing something wrong and my mom coming down there and have to get me. Right. So that helped keep me straight.
Mm-hmm. So what do you hope that the readers of this book will get?
I hope they will have opportunities to sit down, cross generations, and to share the culture, to talk about the sayings in the book, and to have a fun time together. I've heard stories where grandmas have pulled out the book where their grandchildren were around, or great-grandchildren, and that intergenerational opportunity it gave to have fun and to discuss life and to discuss what family was all about. So I'm just praying that it can be an opportunity for family to have fun together and to learn and to understand our culture as human beings.
Amen. Could you tell me a little bit about the interview process between you and your grandmother? I bet it was a special moment.
Well, no, to be honest with you, my grandmother died 20 years ago. Oh. It's just that I remembered those sayings. I interviewed a lot of older people at my church. And after they knew of the project, people started calling me or emailing me or at after church, they would come up to me and tell me various sayings. So the interview process was more so based on older people that I knew at the time, but the inspiration to create the book came from my grandmother.
One of the biggest lies ever told is that when people die, that they naturally go to heaven. However, heaven is not automatic. This booklet, Heaven Not Automatic, explains the gospel of Yeshua and includes the prayer of salvation. Give this gift of love to all that you know and share everywhere you go as the time is near for the Lord's return. Find this book and other resources at heavennotautomatic.com.
Facing challenges in marriage in spite of all your efforts, or looking for a way to enhance your relationship, or preparing for marriage, or just desiring to make your marriage more blissful? Then this book is for you, The Plan of God for Your Marriage by Dr. Ruby Ebekwe. Check this book out at www.drrubynewbook.com. That's www.drrubynewbook.com or amazon.com.
In your opinion, how can we particularly value these sayings in today's fast-paced world?
Well, understand that we didn't get today because we didn't have yesterday. Right. And yes, you should understand where you are today based on the culture and the learning that we had in the past. We need, as young people, sometimes to slow down, sit down, and talk to the older generation. One of the things I was telling my children at school, my students at school over the weekend, that you don't get old being a fool. You need to develop wisdom by listening to older people. And so I'm hoping that this book will create an opportunity for this fast-paced young generation to sit down and understand where they've come from so that they'll be able to share this wisdom with the generations to come.
Amen. Man, that's excellent, man. I know there's a lot of living in this world where people don't have those that upbringing from either their parent, their mother or their father in their house, and they're just kind of in this microwave, do what your friends are doing without any real sustenance to who they are. I can see the importance of going out and getting something like this, just developing that old culture. That
yes.
That old oxtails and greens culture. I know in my family we never really had that. We were always separated from this part of the family. Didn't want to get in trouble here, and I would have really loved to have that that in my family for sure.
Well, you can create it now in your family because mm-hmm. one day you're going to be pop-up,
right?
One day you're going to be grandpa. Mm-hmm. And it affords an opportunity for you to sit down and share with them. And I say to my students, cherish those moments that your grandmother or your great grandmother is alive, because they're not going to always be there. But if you spend time with them, you're going to have that memory for the rest of your life. And this book helps to create those opportunities for them to sit with their grandparents and great grandparents.
Mm-hmm. So is it reading material that you could have like when you're putting your kid to sleep, or is it something?
Yeah, it's literally just 800 sayings.
Mm-hmm.
No explanation of the saying, because you create the explanation of the saying based on your culture or based on what you knew when it was presented to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sit there and read it, and they'll say, "Well, Grandma, what does that mean?" Or Grandma could read it and say, you know, what do you think that means? You know, stuff like the pot calling the kettle black, you know, or the top calling the kettle black.
What are some of the sayings that really resonate with you?
Well, you know what? On mostly every page, there's something. I remember my grandmother saying, I could flip to any page. On the first page, it said, "I'm going down yonder." That means I'm going down the street, you know. You reap what you sow. I hear that all the time. Even the young people say that now, because they have this thing where they always talk about, well, karma going to get you, you know, and that's the same as saying you reap what you sow. My grandmother used to say to me, "Get up, lazy bones," you know, because I didn't feel like doing something. Or she would say, pull your britches up. Oh, that is so relevant now.
Oh,
pull
man.
Your britches up, the way young men walk around with their pants hanging down, you know. My grandma used to say something like, walk right by me and don't say cat, dog, or nothing. Like coming in the house and not even speaking. And she would say something like, if I'm acting up or looking a certain way, she'll say, you ain't no kin to mine because I wasn't representing the family right. Or she would say something, if I was acting up, she'll say, you too big for your britches, I'm being too grown. A hard head makes a soft behind, you know, not listening. Every shut eye ain't sleeping. Every goodbye ain't gone. Meaning that be careful about what you say because people can still see you or hear you whether you think they're around or not. Can't see the forest for the trees. It takes two to tangle. If your friend jumped off a bridge, would you? I could go on and on and on. One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. If it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it must be a duck.
Man, it's not surprising, but there's so much value from what used to be said that you just don't. What do you think is the enemy of that? What do you think is causing those things to go away? It seems like that's just. It used to be just common sense and things that you would hear in common speech. But today, it's almost like you don't get that. What do you think is the enemy of that?
The enemy of that is the lack of communication between generations. The lack of younger people spending time with older people or older people taking time to spend with their younger family members or young or just taking time to speak to other people, period. In our community, there are people who live in neighborhoods that don't even know one another, you know, and we as younger people need to take time to spend with older people and older people need to spend time with younger folks. I'll never forget the story. And I often share this with my students. There was a young lady who graduated college and high school with me. When she was in high school, there was an older man across the street, had no family, and she would go spend the time with him, and he couldn't read. So she would read his mail for him. That created a bond between the two of them. He would share the stories of his upbringing and stuff. When she graduated from high school, that old man gave her $4,000 for college.
Wow.
Just from her taking the time to share with him, but taking the time to read his mail. So you never know what kind of blessings will come about when we spend time with others, especially young people spending time with older folks.
Well, Dr. Brown, if you could speak into the lives of the people that are going to see this podcast, what advice would you give them to starting off that type of relationship?
Well, first of all, find time. Find time. Never be too busy for your parents, for your grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles. Never be too busy for family. Families need to start coming together, not because of a funeral or because of a wedding, but just come together for the sake of family. And then when you do get together, you need something to be talking about. So I encourage you to get this book, 800 Sayings, by old folks who raised us. And that gives you an opportunity to have fun together, to share together, and to do some things that will be everlasting. Because once they have that activity and they realize how fun it is, and they're the young people in it, when they get to be older people, they will say, let me share with you an activity that I used to do with my grandmother. And I believe this book can continue to grow and grow. As far as the book itself, we're working on eventually to have a second edition where we're going to have 1,000 sayings. And as time goes on, I'm telling my daughters, they can keep this project going every 4 to 5 years, have a new edition where they can add another 200 to it. Because as time goes on, things change. Prime example, when I was a child, I never said OMG, but now that's a common thing. Oh, my God. You know, the kids say it, older people say it. When I was younger, we didn't say LOL, laugh out loud, but they say it now. So there's a lot of communication that's been created by the new generation and new technology that is going to be one day the old sayings.
And I love this, developing this depth and cultivating these roots, things that won't just fade away, but be a lasting effect within a family, man. I really appreciate you and what you, the work you've put into this book. For the people that are ready to go out and get this now, where would they go and get this?
You can find it on Amazon, and you can also find the book at Page Turner Press and Media.com. And we also have the book in audio, you know, and that also services those who have difficulty reading, those who like to hear audiobooks, and also those who happen to be blind. They're not doing as many Braille books as they used to. Most of the books now are audio.
Yeah. Okay. And lastly, what other projects might you be working on, or could we expect?
Well, we have three more books that are in process, and they should be out in the next couple months. They're called The 3-in-1, a trilogy, and they're motivational, spiritually motivational messages. The first book you would read daily, the second book you would read once a week, and the third book you would read once a month. So the first book is 366, because of leap year, of daily motivational readings. The second book is motivational readings that you would read once a week. They come from newspaper articles that I've written over the years. And book three is 12 unique sermons that I have put together. They're four sermons. And so the third book kind of gears more so to lay people or pastors who want a quick sermon or need a sermon. And the second book, I would say, would be more so for people who are lay leaders and want to share a reading and have people comment about it. And the first book, which is Daily Motivational Messages, is basically for personal motivation and spiritual uplift. So they're called the trilogy, the 3-in-1.
Yeah, man, I need that sermon. That sermon part of the trilogy, man. I wake up in the mornings, I just need to get something, and I don't know which sermon I need to look up.
I got the whole thing in, the amens and you don't hear me now and all that.
Yeah. Amen. Well, it's been a good time. I appreciate you coming out and telling us about your book, talking about 800 saying by old folks who raised us. I thank you so much. And everybody go out and get your copy.
Yes. Thank you, Etro, for your commitment to making life better for others and your commitment to Christ and to your family. And thank you for being a positive African-American brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening and supporting another episode of My Life Now.
Please remember to subscribe to our podcast show and share it with a friend.
Together, we can keep the message of these books alive.
Until we turn the next page together, stay classy.